I'm talking about being free. But I always said to my wife I was a cheap date anyway, so there you go. If you go on to the next one, this is the series that we've been looking at. So I'm now, you know, Matt sort of asked me very nicely, would you mind talking about it? And I said, well, whatever you ask. I said, I'm, you know, whatever you ask, that's, you know, that's fine. So he gave me this one to do. Thank you very much. And it's been a challenge to write. It's been a challenge to write. But I'm going to come at it from several directions, as you'll see. So if we go on to the next slide. I'm the best qualified person for this talk. I'm also the least qualified person for this talk. Because I struggle with things in my life every day. We all do. But there are things I can look back on in my past from when, like Molly said, when dinosaurs roamed the earth and Noah was a lad, that I have conquered, right? I know from my early experience as a Christian, the first noticeable, discernible difference in my life was I stopped swearing. I used to swear quite a lot. I know it's hard to imagine, but I did. And it was one of those things that I didn't sort of sit down and pray, dear Lord, deliver me from swearing. It just went. I just suddenly realized weeks later, I wasn't swearing. And I'm like, wow, how'd that happen? You know? And then I tried for years to give up smoking and couldn't. And one day I was lying in bed and I said, look, Lord, I know you want me to give up smoking and I can't do it unless you give me the strength to give up. So I said, I'm going to believe that you're going to give me the strength to give up. So the next day, I didn't take my cigarettes to work, but I took my lighter because we used it at school for various things, to light things in the day. And I didn't miss it. And I went to work the next day, and I never took my cigarettes. And I kept that packet of cigarettes for 18 months. And then gave them away to a family upstairs who were in desperate need, and then they complained at the poor quality of the cigarettes I'd given them. But I did say I kept them for 18 months. And the reason I kept them was because it was something that had mastered me, and I now mastered it. That was the great thing. So that's the encouraging thing I want to say, that whatever you're struggling with, the Lord can help you to master it. But there are some things that will still keep nibbling at your heels and you still keep having to fight, and we'll come to that in a bit. So if we roll on to the next one. Romans 3, if you want to go there in your Bibles. I'm reading from the New International, so if you've got some other translations, it may come out slightly differently, but I apologize. Romans 3, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's very simple. We have all sinned. The Bible makes no, paints no different picture. Everybody has sinned. From my grandson, who you'll probably see in the videos on Facebook. If you haven't, please feel free to laugh at me. But we were having a whale of a time yesterday playing with all toys and doing all sorts of silly things. But from him all the way through to the oldest person in here, all the people out there, the people I work with, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And if you go on to the next slide, in the Greek, when you look it up, there is one word in the Greek for sin. And it means sin. And its definition is, we've missed the mark. It's used to describe all manner of wrongdoing, from disobeying what the Lord has said to you through to an inner course of action that you decide to take when you know you shouldn't do. Are you with me so far? And it, all the while, the inference is, we're missing the mark. It's less than God's best for us. Are you with me? With me so far. Make sense? Yeah. It did when I wrote it. Right. I was driving the other day, and I'm blessed with the car that we've got that the Lord provided us with, because it's got a digital radio and I can listen to UCB UK every day. It's like, oh, wonderful. Just to enjoy being surrounded by worship when you drive is a nice counteract to the rubbish that the lads have me listen to, because they will insist on, can we have capital on? Oh, do we have to? So as soon as it's gone, click, 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 let's get some decent vibes in the car again. But there we go. But I was reading, and they came across this, and I'm sort of like driving, listening, thinking, I need to write this down. This is important. And you can't write and drive at the same time. So every time I got to traffic lights, it's like, I've got long enough to write this down. Where's my diary? Pen? No. Oh, no. Next set of lights. No. There we go. And I had to look for this. And it says, Psalm 32:5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's even better, isn't it? It's not just the fact he forgives our sin, he forgives the guilt of it. And that's some of the things that we have to grasp, is to stop feeling guilty about what you've done. Because if you've confessed it, what's he done? He's forgiven it, and he's forgotten about it. He's got a bad memory. You know, we know, and it's like when we pray, Lord, I'm reminding you of these things, I'm reminding you of this word of prophecy. If you've confessed your sin, he's forgotten about it. So don't go back saying, Lord, I'm here to remind you. About what? I've forgotten about that. About what? I don't know anything about that. His memory is wonderful like that, isn't it? But he remembers the promises he has made to you as individuals. That's the balancing act. Are you with me? That's not in the notes, by the way. Right, moving on. I shall digress very slightly. This is a brilliant verse. I love this verse to bits. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us, make us clean from all unrighteousness. Everything we have done has been washed away. Next week is going to be fantastic because people are going to come out of that baptismal water clean. There are two things I remember about baptisms. One was my own. Because we weren't engaged at the time, were we? No. But she insisted I came to her house for tea and had a bath before my baptism. So that I was nice and clean for my baptism. It's true, isn't it? She said, you've got to come to our house, have tea, and have a bath before your baptism. Fine. So I was like doubly clean. But my abiding memory is lying in bed in my flat in Annesley, where I used to live at the time, on Saturday morning. And I was clean inside. I felt clean inside. That was the miracle. I'd been cleaned. It was like, oh, wonderful. And I can't go back to that place and go through that baptism again, but that's the abiding feeling. But the other thing that used to make me laugh was, and Emma will remember this, when we used to run church and we used to do baptisms, and Susan and Simon will, we used to pump the, you know, we used to fill it up, and we used to pump the water out, didn't we? And you'd put all clean water in the baptism, you'd baptise all these folk, and then you'd all dry off and go and have something to eat. And then when we drained the baptism, there was all this muck in the bottom. I said, could you not remember that? It was always mucky at the bottom, wasn't it? It's like, where's that come from? And we used to jokingly say, well, that's all the rubbish they've left behind. We're just cleaning it out for them, you know. But it was one of those sort of wonderful pictures that people had been baptised and left all the muck of their lives in the water and come out clean. And that's next, you know, anyway, that's digressing, but it's, sorry, Matt. Okay, that's fine. If you want to go to Isaiah 43 and verse 25, I've got to do this and hope all the bits in my Bible don't fall out. It's in trouble with people giving you things and say, don't lose this, I'll put it in my Bible where it's safe. And your trouble is your Bible ends up being twice its size. Da 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 dee. Where are we? Isaiah 43:25. You see, and this is what I mentioned earlier. And it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. That's great, isn't it? This is all good news that, if nothing else, I want you to remember. These are good things that the Lord has done for us. Now, this is the fun bit. Paul writes this in Romans 7. And this is what we struggle with. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do, it sounds slightly complicated, basically saying, I am struggling to do the good things that I know I need to do. And sometimes I don't, and it really gets to me. That's the essence of what he's saying. So if you nip onto the next slide. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. We love to come and worship the Lord and feel uplifted, don't we, in our spirit and our mind. And it does us good. But then you find another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who's rescued us? Exactly. So he's rescued us from all this thing. But Paul acknowledges that we are fighting all the time. That's why I say things keep nibbling away at us. And it's a battle in our mind that takes place. Yeah? But the good news is, who has given us the victory? Exactly. So we need to live in the good of that. And that's the sort of main thing I want to get across. We have to live in the good of what it says. So if we go back, if we did go back to verse 1 John 1:9, if we confess he will forgive, we have to accept that. If we don't confess, he won't forgive it. It's a simple principle. And the other thing is, if you've confessed it, he's forgiven you. You might not feel forgiven, but he's forgiven you. You have to accept that as a fact. It's like when I first said to my wife, when we were engaged, I love you. It shifted our whole relationship. Something moved to another level because I was admitting what was in my heart for her. And it's the same. If he says, I've forgiven you, it's shifting you to a new level in your relationship. He has forgiven you. You need to do no more. He's taken it away. He's forgotten about it. He's cleaned it off. Yes? Encouraged? Yes? I'll go and sit down there. Right. Right. So, if we believe what it says in John 3:16, that God sent his only Son into the world, whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if we accept the truth of 1 John 1:9, then we need to go on accepting that forgiveness every day. I am forgiven. There used to be this hilarious song that we used to sing sometimes called I'm Forgiven, I'm Forgiven. And you used to repeat it that many times. It used to sound like I'm a funky gimmon, I'm a funky gimmon, I'm a funky. You might remember it. Yeah, vaguely, yes. And it's a long way. It's a, you know, there's a bit of distance there. But the thing is, we need to do nothing more. You are forgiven if you confess your sins. That's why the thing at the top says, I am free. All right? You are free. You have been set free. If he says you're forgiven, you are forgiven. There was this awful link, which I sort of curiosity got of me, of in one of these Muslim countries, where this guy had wanted his hand to be cut off so that he wouldn't sin anymore. And I'm like, thank goodness for our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't have to do that. I just have to accept that if I confess my sin, he will forgive and cleanse me. I don't have to say, chop my hand off, Lord, because it's offended you. That is amazing. That's what sets our faith, Christianity, apart from everything else. It's accepting what he's done and what he did on the cross. If I move on, I'm having to do this old school. I haven't got one of these new school, right? Here. Scroll through. Yeah, we've done that, but tell me. Let's go on to the next one. Romans 12. No, go back. No, other way. That way. You see how it's scrolling? It's working. I should probably have this verse carved on my tomb because every time I stand here, I'm sort of quoting it. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Then I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. What does it say? Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Who'd like a new mind? Okay, we'll pray for that later. Okay, that's first thing, Matt. But seriously, you know, it's there. And then what are we able to do? To test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. That's tremendous, isn't it? He will transform you by the renewing of your mind. He will give you a new mind. I remember I've for ages been seeking after being filled with the Spirit and speaking in tongues. And at the church I was attending, they had this weekend where this guy came. And he spoke on the Friday and he said, now some of you might need a new mind. And I'm thinking, well, I could do with a new mind. My wife says it most of the time. Don't you? But anyway, he came in and he said, you know, some people here wouldn't like a new mind. I'll have a new mind. Yes, I'll go for that. And that then opened the way on the Saturday when he said, okay, now who'd like to be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues? I'll have some of that. Because like Graham, when you remember when Graham talked about being filled with the Spirit, how he sort of read and did everything and everything, and it happened to Molly naturally, and Graham's like, why? Why is it happened to Molly and not me? I've read all the books, I've been to all the meetings, I've done all these things, and it's happened to Molly. I had to have a new mind for it to happen to me, because I had to get rid of all the things that were there so that I could just simply accept it and say, Lord Jesus, hit me with it. And it's the same thing. It's this transformation of your mind. And that's why when Paul says, I'm struggling with these things, we need to come back to say, Lord, renew my mind. Give me the strength to keep on fighting. The thoughts in my head, the things that I see, keep me. Are you with me? It's a constant battle for your mind, but it's one that you can win. Yes? Good news? Okay. Moving on. I put this one in. The parable of the workers in the vineyard, Matthew 20. If you want to turn to it. It sort of ties in a bit with this whole idea of being forgiven and salvation and what have you. But it's a sort of a curious little story. And I'll tell you why I put it in. And it says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, which in old money was a penny, for those who understand it. And he sent them out into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others still standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? because no one has hired us, they answered him. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came, and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, friend, am I not being unfair to you? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? Curious story, isn't it? It's about salvation. It's about the fact that it doesn't matter when you're saved, the reward is the same. Are you with me? So it doesn't matter if somebody here is saved today and dies tomorrow. Their reward in heaven is as much as mine, and I've been at it for bloody years. Are you with me? It makes no difference. If we go on to the next slide. I'm dropping in my dad's testimony, which is why I nipped to the loo to get some tissues, because I might need them. I said to my wife ages ago, I've still got the parking ticket from the day my dad died, which is a curious thing. And when I got here, it dropped on the floor, and they said, what's that? I said, it's the parking ticket that we had, that we put on the car at Queen's Med, from the day he died. My dad died 13 years ago, in about 4 weeks' time. About this time, 13 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer in his spine, was admitted to Queen's Medical, and they basically said, he's 84, there's nothing we can do apart from just give him painkillers, keep him comfortable, you know, it's just a matter of weeks. Okay? One Friday, we're going to go and see him. Susan comes downstairs, I've got this funny feeling, I've got to come with you. Okay, she's got a funny feeling, we follow it. So we go. I arrive, Dad's in bed, Mum's there, my brother and his wife turn up, also Christians, Susan and I turn up. And we're just chatting, as you do, as families go and visiting people in hospital. And he suddenly turns to us and he says, why can't I have the same faith that my sons have got? Now, this is a guy who never admitted anything. You know, if he made a mistake, he never admitted it. Showed no emotion, never cried, always determined, I'm Church of England, son, I know exactly what I believe. And all of a sudden, he's asking us, why can't I have this? So guess what we did? We told him. Now, we had to do it slightly loudly because he was going deaf as well. So the other five people in the bed's got it. The people walking down the corridor's got it when we prayed the prayer of salvation with him. But we told him, you've got to ask Jesus into your life. So we prayed, dear Lord Jesus, and all this. And the instant that we'd said amen, both my brother and I opened our eyes. And we suddenly saw him like sitting up in bed because all the weight of all the things that he wanted to get rid of had gone. It was absolutely incredible. The weight, it was almost like, I could say, the weight of sin had been taken off him. And he looked different because Jesus had come into his life. And 4 weeks later, he'd gone. But that was wonderful. Those 4 weeks were amazing because you went, and he could still beat me at cribbage, which I still never understand. Simon's teaching me slowly because Lizzie can play it. So I'm gradually learning how to play it, but I never mastered it when Dad was alive. But the incredible thing was you'd go, and every day there's his glasses, there's the daily readings, and there's his Bible. That was amazing. Amazing 4 weeks of my dad. And I just dropped that one in to say that it's never too late. You are praying for people here who are showing no signs of coming any closer to the Lord. And I want to say to you, keep going. Keep going. Once I became a Christian, as I mentioned way back in the late 70s, I had a long list of hip people. Mum, Dad, brother, sister, various other people. And Dad was the last domino to go. My mum had come, my brother had come, my sister, various other people. Dad was the last one. But it was wonderful to see it. So just to encourage you, because I know a lot of you, you know, have got people you'll pray for, keep going, because that salvation will come to them and they will be free as well. Dad was free and he's even more free now. Next slide. I think there's another one. I am no longer defined by the wreckage behind. I heard this on UCB and I just love it as a line from a song. I am no longer defined by the wreckage I've left behind. Isn't that amazing? Whatever you were has gone behind you. It doesn't define you any longer. What defines you now? The life of Jesus living in you. You are a son of the living God. I know that sounds odd to say when we've got ladies present, but from a biblical point of view, when Jesus talked about you being a son, it meant you were as honored as a man in the family. Because you know, if you've heard people say it before, women were just like goods and chattels. Not in the New Testament. You are seen as equal to a son. Isn't that wonderful? That is an amazing thing. So you can walk around and look at yourself in the morning, ladies, and say, I am a son of God. Which sounds slightly odd, but it's absolutely true. Yeah? And so he says, you know, I am no longer defined by the wreckage behind. Why? Because you are a son of the living God. You are now defined by the character and nature of the Lord Jesus living in you. That's why we're free, isn't it? Yes? Make sense so far? Good, I'm getting some nods. That's hopeful. So I put this verse up. Matt spoke on it a few weeks ago. 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 21. It's a key verse. When we used to do beach missions years ago, it was one of the things we used to say to people. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we did so no longer. We used to see Jesus as just something else, something other, not important. But now we get this really wonderful verse. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Isn't that awesome? You know, you can take hold of that every day of the week. You can feel like rubbish when you wake up tomorrow morning, but that's still true, isn't it? That's the wonderful thing about it. This is still going to be true no matter how we feel, because we're not feeling dependent people. When it comes to our faith, you have to accept it as a fact and say, if that's what your word says, I'm going to hold on to it and believe to it. Yes? Yeah? That's the key thing. So I'm no longer defined by the wreckage, you know, the wreckage that's behind me. Whatever wreckage, whatever car crash my life was before I came to Jesus, that no longer defines me. What defines me now is the life of Jesus living in me. I was sitting roughly where we normally sit last week, and I was pondering being here, and I think, and making a mental note, must bring tissues, probably will end up saying something that will make me cry. And the Lord reminded me of a verse in Scripture that says, see, I replace your heart of stone with a heart of flesh. 1977, I'd been in a relationship with a girl for a year. It all broke up, went pear-shaped. I walked out on her and left her and said, look, it's not working, I'm off. And I determined, as I walked back to my room at college, that no one was going to get close to me. No one was going to hurt me. I was going to build a brick wall around myself. And then I met Susan. And she gradually, along with the Lord Jesus, took the wall down brick by brick by brick. And I'm sitting there crying last week in worship thinking, you know, I'm going to be a gibber. Here we go. I knew it. But the Lord said to me there, I've replaced your heart of stone, and I've given your heart of flesh. That's the thing about being free. He changes you on the inside without you knowing, and you suddenly it hits you and you think, I'm free. I'm free. I can cry every Sunday now with a clear conscience. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. And I think, that about wraps me up. I've got a few closing thoughts and then we'll let Matt loose on you. Has any of this made any sense to anybody? Yes. Is anybody feeling encouraged? Yes. Good. Okay. Galatians 5 verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Isn't that wonderful? Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Stand firm in the freedom he has given you. Awesome, isn't it? It is for freedom. That's why he set us free. He wanted us to be free from the laws of sin and death so that we could live for him. And people could see the difference that knowing Jesus makes in our lives. That's the thing, isn't it? It's what Jesus does on the inside. And people see the outward of it in us and think, what is it about you that's different? Why are you different? Because Jesus lives in each one of us. Oh dear, excuse me. Right. Okay, last bit. Live in the freedom that you, of being forgiven. Of having your sins forgiven and walking into your new life. It's like the baptism for the people next week. They are walking into a new life. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. It's wonderful. The old life's gone. The new has come. And that's the wonderful thing, isn't it? Now, next bit, next slide. We're going to do some declaring. First one. Please. Yeah. Right. No, go back one. That way. Go back there. Yeah, keep going. Is it? No. No, the other way. Other way. Whichever way it is, I'll tell you in a minute when we get there. Is it? No, come in that. That's it. Dad's testimony. Keep going. Should be after that. Was it after that? Yeah, don't worry about it. It's fine. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. That's it. I'm free. That's where I wanted to start. Yes. We got there. It's fine. Okay. All right. It's warm, isn't it? We are free. We have to accept that as a fact. Yeah? These things no longer have a hold of us. They like to think that they do, and there are times where they will rear their ugly heads and have a go at us. But the grace and the forgiveness is still there to help us go on living in that freedom that Christ has given us. Yes? Right, on to the next slide. Three declarations that we're going to make. All right? Can you see all that? Okay? So we're going to start with the words, I declare that. Okay, so I declare that in Christ I have died to sin. In Christ I am free from the power of sin. And I am no longer defined by all the wreckage behind. Yes? Right, let's go on to the next one. I've personalized this. Right? Now some people might tell me off, but I haven't changed the tenor of what Scripture says. But I want you to read that because that applies to you. That's why I've written it that way. I want you to take hold of that verse. If you remember nothing else, 2 Corinthians 5:16 to 21. Take it home with you. Because what does it say? Let's read it together. So, from now on, I regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though I once regarded Christ in this way, I do so no longer. Therefore, if I am in Christ, I am a new creation. My old has gone, my new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled me to himself through Christ and gave me the ministry of reconciliation. Yes? Do we need to read that again just to make sure? We're all clear on that. Right? You are, I am a new creation. Yes? That's what has happened. That is the fact. That is why Jesus died on the cross. That is why the guy who was the thief who was nailed up next to him knew that Jesus had done no wrong. And he said to him, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. That's forgiveness, isn't it? Today you'll be with me in paradise. We'll see that thief in heaven. That's the great thing. He's the guy who was crucified next to Jesus. So I want to ask you today, who's struggling with something that they want us to pray for? Don't mind what it is. Put your hand up. If you're struggling with something, you're saying, Lord, you know, I need you to pray for me this morning. Any offers? No? That's great. You need some. We'll need some. Okay. Graham's struggling. Don't know why, but Graham's struggling. Will is anybody else? Don't be embarrassed among friends and family. Okay. Anybody feel... Because I've got a sense this morning when we're worshipping that sometimes we're in worship and saying, Lord, I just want more from you this morning. Anybody feel like that this morning who wants more from the Lord this morning? Maybe you just want to be refreshed. Maybe you just want to be filled with the Spirit again. I don't know. Yeah, stand up then, please. It's all on this side. Anybody else? Anything else you would like us to pray for this morning as we draw things to a close? Doesn't matter what it is. Okay, let's gather around these people here. Then if you want to sort of gather around them, put your hands on them, come near them. All right? And then we'll pray and we'll just ask the Lord. You got anything, Matt? Okay. Father God, we want to thank you for honesty. People standing and saying, Lord, I need more of you in my life. I need your help. I need your strength. I need faith. I need a miracle. I need healing. Father God, we want to thank you for their faith to stand and say, Lord Jesus, help me. I need to move more into that new creation. I need you to just meet with me right now, Lord Jesus. Whatever my need, and you might want to just pray it quietly as other people pray for you, whatever your need, say, Lord Jesus, this is what I need from you this morning. And as we gather praying for Graham, we just thank you for this man of faith who has doggedly given us an example of what it is to hold on and believe against all circumstances, but to keep on believing and holding on to truth and to the faith you've given him, Lord. I want to thank you too, Lord, for each person who's standing, knowing that they have a greater need of you. And as we sang earlier, Lord, we need more of you. We need more of you in our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're just so grateful, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Man of faith, man of faith, man of faith. Lord Jesus. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that the words I've shared from your word will bring encouragement and hope to all of us here. Pray that we'll take hold of that truth, that I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, and that we're no longer defined by the wreckage behind us. Whatever the train wreck was of our lives, that's gone. You've cleared it all away. It's been washed away either in baptism or through the cleansing of your spirit or through the battle in our mind where we've fought against things. But we thank you for each one of us here, Lord, that each one of us, new creation in Christ, Jesus has done it all. And we're just so grateful, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah.